Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Once again, we're in the house of the Lord. And His mercies are new every day. Every day. His mercies don't get old. They're new every day. And I am so completely thankful for the mercy of God, the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. You take that out of any of our lives and the story would be written so diametrically different. But because Jesus dipped the pen into the blood, He made something beautiful out of our lives. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Amen. We are complete in Him. That's the only way that we'll ever find fulfillment, is in Jesus Christ. It's what makes life worth the living. Also life worth the dying. Praise the Lord. And I'm just astonished time and time again. After all the years of being in church and services, I doubt there's ever been two that were identical. Been some that maybe were similar, but never identical. And I know that God knows what needs to be done here tonight. And I pray that I can follow His direction. You may be seated of just a few moments before we go to the Word of the Lord, because I would like to take just a few moments here tonight and express first my deep appreciation to Brother Connell, his family, for again their very kind hospitality and friendship. Appreciate it very much. They humble me in their kindness and generosity. Matter of fact, Brother Connell, speaking of maybe that somehow I was some type of influence way back when, but I do know this, that during some of the most taxing, trying times of our lives, with my wife with cancer, I won't go into all the details of all that, but let me tell you, it was two of the longest, loneliest, heart-rending years of our life. And during that time, somehow God allowed us to be connected with Brother Connell. He, through his heart, somehow made it possible that we survived during those days. And I owe him a debt of gratitude that I can never repay. And so, what goes around comes around, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Thank God for good men. Gracious men, God's men. Praise the Lord. I don't believe that we have ever yet understood the depth of a preacher's heart and how God enlarges the heart of a preacher, because to be able to minister to people and to go through the things that he does, God has to give him a special heart. Amen. And I love this man, and I thank God for him. Also to the church here for your response, your prayerful attitude, and your intent to do the will of God is so vitally important as you follow your preacher. Amen. Thank you for your prayers on our behalf and for asking the Lord to somehow help us all. Praise God. Once again, we're delighted that Brother Gayton, Brother Stark, and the rest of the folks that made their way down are here tonight. Again, it's a high compliment to this church and to Brother Connell that these folks dismiss their service to make the journey down here to be in church. Like Brother Connell, I believe it is an added incentive in the service. Praise the Lord. And so, as Brother Gayton said, it was a long, long, long time ago when I first had the opportunity to preach in Sacramento, and Brother Gayton and some of those other folk were there at that time. And but I trust and hope that through the years somehow God has helped me to do better, and that's what I want to do. But I'm glad they're here tonight. As you take your Bibles with me here this evening and turn to the book of 1 Kings, maybe wrestle's not the right word, but toss to and fro a bit about this evening's message. One of the dilemmas of a preacher is that he has a backlog of a lot of things, and a lot of sermons and Bible lessons and whatever else. I mean, after some 40-odd years of preaching, you're going to have more than a dozen. Matter of fact, I used to tell people that I had 6 messages and 912 titles. But one of the dilemmas sometimes is that we start praying over something and trying to find that one thing. Sometimes it's not even in the thing that you have backlogged, completely new. And but today and this evening, as I felt my way around in the spirit, finally felt that this, what I have to bring to you tonight, is what the spirit intention is. And what I have to say tonight is really a simple spiritual principle that we so often overlook. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the more difficult principles to really live and to let it be a reality in our lives. Sometimes, you know, I used to tell my church, if you'll always do what you know to do, you'll always know what to do. If you know to pray, pray. If you know to be right, be right. So sometimes, even though that what I am going to say will not be a revelation to you, but it will be a reminder and a bring it back to the forefront of your mind. And then once again, as you persevere that it will add an incentive to continue on with Christ. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. I want you to notice that phrase. For there is a sound. Everybody say sound. Not a sight. But a sound. And not just a rain. But an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Matter of fact, you'll notice that there is in italics. His report was nothing. And he said, go again, seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot. Get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Praise God. Now, this is the principle that we're going to derive from this familiar episode out of your Bible. It's simply this. The abundance is beyond the nothing. The abundance is beyond the nothing. Well, praise the Lord. The abundance is the other side of nothing. However long nothing might be, however much nothing might be, way over yonder somewhere, past just nothing, 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 and another nothing, is the abundance. Now that's simply my message here tonight. But to somehow get it activated into our heart and our mind tonight, let's somehow ask the Holy Ghost to help these lips of clay bring to your life and your heart the reality and the realism of really what it takes to have those things we desire of Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord to have His way. Lord, we do thank You for Your wonderful work. We thank You for Your glorious, wonderful way. God, I know that You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You do not start that which You do not finish. And that, God, You will bring it to fruition to those that persevere, that continue to walk and not faint. To those that somehow press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God. And I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Bless this house. Fill it, Lord, with hungry hearts. And let the will of God be done above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you are seated here this evening. This is a familiar episode from your Bible. It's one of the more frequently told stories of the Old Testament. I like Elijah. He is such an interesting character study. He just seems to appear almost out of nowhere and is the most wonderful prophet of God of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, he is the representation of all the prophets. When that on that mount, there appeared Moses and Elijah. Moses as a representative of the law, and Elijah a representative of the prophets of the Old Testament. But in the midst of that transfiguration that took place on that mount, that Jesus outshined them all. In other words, the law is fulfilled in Jesus. The prophets spoke of Jesus, and therefore the voice came from heaven when it was that said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And they saw no man save Jesus only. Praise the Lord. And so Elijah is a very vital individual in the Bible. He is representative of the whole prophetic system of the Old Testament. But when the midst of the things that God used him in, this is a man that is of many contrasts. He has many facets that gleam in different ways from the same light as it is turned. But he is a prophet that has no peer. He is a prophet that is absolutely the man that when you think of prophets, he is the one. Praise the Lord. And it was that in the time when that Israel has strayed so far from God, and that God always, you hear me, had a prophet to arise on the scene. He always had a voice, regardless of how degenerate Israel became, regardless of how much they drifted away. God always had a prophet that came upon the scene. And Elijah comes upon the scene at a time where that the lineage of the kings have went to such debauchery and have went into such a corruption of leadership that God sends Elijah with a message. And there he makes his voice known in the midst of that kingdom. He is not loved for it. He is hated for it. And especially he is hated by those of royalty. But Elijah still continues to voice the voice of God. That's what I like about real men of God. Regardless of fame or fortune, amen, there's only one thing important to them, and that is what thus saith the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, a lot of preaching that we do is not going to be favored by those that get preached to. It is not the intent of the preacher to just preach things that are distasteful. But I'm telling you that when it must be done, it must be done. But you ought to thank God for a preacher that somehow preaches without fear and without favor. Amen. That somehow his first allegiance is to God and to God alone. Praise the Lord. And it was Elijah, as you know, that goes to Ahab and makes the pronouncement that according to my word, it shall not rain. For over the space of not just weeks or months, but years, years without any rain from heaven. I'm telling you, a land can change dramatically when there's no rain. That cattle begin to die off and people become in such a precarious situation and hunger is rampant and there is such a desolation that comes to the land. But it was by the word of Elijah that that was set in motion. And then where we have read to you, time has now progressed until that Ahab goes to meet Elijah. And there Elijah tells him certain things from the Lord that Ahab is not really pleased about at all. But then in the midst of that time, at the time that God has wanted the drought to come to an end, after his conversation with Ahab at this point, he tells Ahab through his servant that I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Praise the Lord. You go tell Ahab to rise up, eat and drink and get himself prepared, amen, that he might go to Jezreel, back to the capital of his place. Amen. But I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I want you to pay very close attention to what Elijah has said. He does not say, I see a rain. He does not say there's any physical evidence of a rain. What he says is that there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now that sound that he's talking about is not because that in the far distance there is lightning and thunder and black clouds, amen, and the distant sound of rain. That is not what he's talking about, because it's very evident and clear there is nothing like that at all on the horizon. That is not any different from the drought days of the years that have passed. There's not one glimmer of a cloud. There's not one sound of lightning. There is no thunder rolling. But Elijah says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. You must understand this. The sound is something that must first be obtained. Amen. That it is not I see it and then I believe it. It is I hear it and I believe it. Praise the Lord. For faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You gotta get the sound before you get the evidence. You gotta somehow hear it before you see it. You gotta somehow believe it in your heart before that it's ever evident. And what I'm trying to say to this church tonight is, amen, that a preacher preaches to put the sound into your heart. Amen. No, you don't see it. No, you don't see the overwhelming revival that you desire. No, you don't see all the pews full yet. No, you don't even see the splashing of the water and baptism of a new convert at the moment. But you begin to hear the sound when there's no evidence whatsoever. When there is nothing that says, here is proof. Amen. That's the way that faith works. Amen. Again, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. You got to hear the sound of it before you ever get to the abundance. Let's follow the sequence here. Amen. You may be seated. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then he and his servant ascend to the top of Mount Carmel, overlooking that Mediterranean Sea. And it says this, and Elijah dropped to the ground and put his face between his knees And he prayed fervently that it might rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then he begins to pray fervently for the rain. Praise the Lord. I believe we miss it so many times when that we have the concept, amen, that it's just going to be so, and therefore there's no involvement in my part to bring it to pass. But let me tell you that once you begin to get faith, because faith without works is dead. Being alone. Amen. You can say, well, I believe it's going to happen. But if you're not pressing toward that happening, amen, with a prayerful life and with the intent to somehow bring it to pass because it is the will of God. And let me tell you, you can keep praying like you need to pray as long as you keep hearing the sound. Now, if you lose the sound, you're going to lose the prayer. If you lose the sound, you're going to lose the faith for it. You got to keep hearing the sound of it. When it is not evident, when it's not there yet, you got to keep hearing that sound. When everything testifies and says, nothing is not there. It's not happening. Amen. The sound keeps saying, pray on. The sound keeps saying, endeavor to keep pressing on. Amen. Because that I hear the sound and I'm going to pray toward that end. And he prayed fervently. Here's this servant. He heard not only he was the courier, the messenger that was sent to Ahab that told him to get himself down because he heard the sound of abundance of rain. Now, maybe he's a little bit confused. Here's his master laying on the ground and praying so fervently that it might rain. And then as he prays, after he prays for a while, he looks up and says to his servant, go look over yonder horizon, however far that would be, where you could get a view of the coast of the Mediterranean and look out yonder and come bring a report back. Servant makes his way. I don't know how far that is. I believe it might have been a good little trip from where they were at. And he gets out there. He looks. It's the same sky, the same heaven, the same evidence of the years of the drought. Not one change is in the heaven. And he comes back and just simply says, nothing. Not many people like the word nothing. And I'm one of them. Praise the Lord. I'm kind of like the old preacher and his wife. He said, me and Mom started out 40 years ago with nothing. We still got 2/3 of it left. Nothing. There is nothing. So what does Elijah do? You think the sound dissipated because of a report of nothing? No, he returned his head back to between his knees, and on he prayed. Fervently praying. And then he rises up after a certain amount of time and sends that same servant and said, go look and see. Look. He's telling him to look now, not listen. He's telling him to look. Amen. You go look and see what you see. And again, that servant makes his trek to wherever it was, at the distance that he went, looks out over the sea and looks into the heavens and nothing. And he goes right back to Elijah, and when Elijah is there inquisitive of his report, he again has the exact same words, and that is, there is nothing, 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 nothing. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, nothing can get depressing. nothing can become very frustrating. Amen. When the report keeps coming back, nothing, nothing, nothing. Say what you want to say. Amen. But we all like to have the microwave type of prayer. Amen. That somehow push the button. Amen. The ding goes off and it's ready and there it is. But the reality in life many times is you're going to have to press your way through nothing and nothing and some more nothing. You got to go on when that nothing is the only report that you keep getting. Amen. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm telling you, it can get frustrating. It can somehow get you where your hand clap starts dying down. It'll get where your prayer, amen, will start finding no longer the volume and the emphaticness that it needs because you're losing the sound. But if you can keep the sound, amen, you can keep praying through this nothing and through that nothing and through the next nothing and through the nothings that follow, because the abundance is beyond the nothings. This principle, you hear me, is what makes or breaks churches. It's what makes a difference in real revival and just having a meeting. It's the difference between success in the spirit and complete abject failure. You've got to have the guts to keep hearing and keep praying when there's nothing and nothing and nothing. Let me see then. Peter and his, for the most part, the disciples were fishermen, except for a few. They made their livelihood. At one time before the call of Jesus of fishing. And one day they push out to go fishing. They go to the places where they know the fish should be. They let down the nets and they pull in the nets. Nothing. Being fishermen, they know this. You keep letting the nets down. You move to another place, but you keep letting the nets down. And they'd move to another place, let down the net. Nothing. Nothing. Sounds like my fishing. Nothing. 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 The day wore on. Sun sets. And all through the night. Until their backs are weary from dragging a heavy net in many, many times. The night goes on still with every cast into the sea. Nothing. With every breathing it in, there's nothing in the net. A net full of nothing is what they're catching every time. Or catching a whole lot of nothing upon nothing multiplied by nothing. And that's what they keep getting. Amen. Until the sun begin to rise a little bit. Amen. And an individual appears on the seashore. Amen. Walking there and the cry goes out. Amen. Have you any meat? Amen. Let me tell you, Peter is so frustrated by this point. You can read it in your Bible. Amen. That what he says is an emphatic no. We have fished all night and caught nothing. Amen. Ever been there? Amen. Ever been in life where that, you put some energy into it. You put some expense into it. You put some time into it. And somehow, let me tell you, you can't operate a church like a business is operated in the world. Amen. They'd go bankrupt before they could turn around. But you know what a church does? It invests sometimes in things that look like no returns coming coming back. Amen. They preach and they teach. They knock doors. Amen. They go here and there. They keep prayer meetings going. Amen. Sometimes with nothing stirring at all. But you know what? You keep throwing the net out and you keep pulling it in. And Jesus said, hey boys, amen, just cast your net on the other side of the ship. And when they did that, the drought was so big that the nets began to break with the abundance of the fish. Amen, because the abundance is beyond the nothing. You gotta stay with it. You hear me? You gotta stay with it. Keep worshiping. Keep praying. Keep pushing those doors open. Amen. Keep witnessing. Keep on. Keep it on. You shall reap in due season if you faint not. That's the critical part. You may see. That's the critical part. That's the principle. Is that you can keep reciprocating prayer and working for God when what you get in return is nothing. And some more nothing. And some more nothing. But again, let me tell you, what has to be alive in your heart is the sound. Is the sound. You know what? I found out some time after I've been living for God that if I could start praying in such a way that not that I'd pray for a lost loved one, amen, that I'd get to the place, you know, God, I know you can save them. And that, you know, I got to the place where I started hearing the water splashing baptism in my mind. Amen. I wanted to hear the sound of them talking in tongues. I wanted to see them changing their wardrobe. Amen. You know what? Amen. If you can hear the sound, it'll keep you praying. It'll keep you faithful. It'll keep you pressing on. Amen. Because let me tell you, God's not going to leave you rewardless. But you got to press through the nothing. And you got to press through the nothing. And you got to press through the nothing to get to the abundance. Before you see it, you got to hear it. Yeah, I know it's human. Brother, when you deal with a whole lot of nothing, it gets frustrating and depressing. Knock. You know that scripture, don't you? Seek. Ask. And positively, you shall find. It shall be given. It shall be opened. Is the positive statements in every one of those. Knock. Shall be opened. Seek, you shall find. Ask, it shall be given. Here's the catch, though. The words knock, seek, and ask are progressive words. Means ongoing. Not just knock, but knocks. Not just ask, but ask. Plural. Not just seek, but seeking. Praise the Lord. Didn't say how many times you got to knock. I thank God. I remember there's been a few times in life where on knock number one, the answer came. But those have been the exception, not the rule. Amen. I remember seeking just for a little while and then finding. But that's, again, is the exception, not the rule. Amen. Asked just one time and suddenly the answer came. But you know what the real reality we're talking about is that you keep on knocking. Your knuckles get sore. Your knuckles get bloody. Amen. But you keep knowing this. There is a positive end to the knocking. And there's a positive end to the seeking. There's a positive end to the asking. You just gotta stay with it. You gotta keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And it shall come to pass. That's what makes the difference. That's the critical part. You gotta keep on Keep it on! That's the principle. I know it's simple. But like I told you at the beginning, it's a little harder to participate in, isn't it? A little harder to really bring it into reality. Because nothing just has a way of just drying up our soul. Just has a way of just saying, my. I tried, and but again, if you can hear the sound. See, that's the first part of this. The sound. You can be seated. The sound. Amen. If we're really going to exercise ourselves in the faith that God meant to exercise ourselves in, then we're going to have to put up with a whole lot of nothing. I would to God, you know, it'd be so much easier and enthusiastic to go to church and tell them, amen, if you just make your petition twice, man, it's done. Amen. And I hear preaching sometimes that is like instantaneous results. And again, please remember this. I have seen instantaneous miracles. Amen. I have seen one time in a revival I was preaching years ago. Amen. They brought a little child up with a deformed leg. Amen. And there we just got around it, prayed for that child, and in full view of everybody there, that leg straightened out. I have seen instantaneous miracles. Amen. But I also want you to know this. I have seen more times when that you just gotta keep pressing and pressing. You know what the Bible said? The kingdom of heaven, amen, suffereth. You know what that word suffereth means? It means it allows it. Amen. It allows violence. And the violent take it by force. It means that I'm not stopping. It means I'm not quitting. I'm not going to back up. I'm going to stay with it. Amen. That's how you press your way into the kingdom. Nothing. What do you see, servant? There is nothing. Yeah, we would like to give those reports out to the whole world about, you know, wonderful, glorious things that you know, just happens every night. But I'll tell you what real church is sometimes. It's just, believe it or not, it's just the saints of God coming to the house of God and persevering. Amen. And pressing on. But oh, thank God for those days when you get through the nothings. Not that church is nothing. Amen. Not that the preaching is nothing. It's just that sometimes what you think ought to be developing and taking place is not materially present yet. But I'm telling you, that's what preaching's about. Amen. Why have preaching if it doesn't bring faith in your heart? And if you don't need faith and you already have that which you seek for, what do you yet hope for? Amen. But there has to be something in there. It says nothing, but I'm still pressing on. You can be seen. You know what nothing plus nothing is? In math, zero plus zero is always zero. But in the math of God, nothing plus nothing is two less nothings. Glory. Glory. Come on. I done got the one nothing. Come on. Now, two nothing. Let me tell you don't quit on a nothing, because if you do, you quit too early. Amen. You just say, I'm through one more nothing. That means I'm getting closer to the goal all the time. Amen. I got a whole lot of nothings behind me, which means I'm a whole lot closer to the abundance. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Come on, Oakley. Praise the Lord. You got to stay with it. Praise God. That lost loved one, you hear me? That when you pray for them, looks like they're going more the devil's way than they've ever went. You can't give up. You can't stop. You can't just give up on it. You gotta keep saying, God, I know you're able. Amen. While nothing seems to be taking place, I know you have an abundance. Three nothings. And the prophet keeps praying the same way. You can be seated. Nothing number four. Servant goes off, makes the trip, comes back with the same, his same song, same verse, could get better, but it's going to get worse. Nothing. 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 You see, Elijah hears the sound. The servant sees the nothing. Go look, but he hears the sound. He doesn't let the look of nothing override his sound of abundance. Hallelujah. Number five. Number six. Numbers are significant in the Bible. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of completeness and fullness. On the seventh go round. Now, this is just me. This is just Brother Groves here. You can just take it or leave it. But I kind of believe by now this servant's getting a little bit weary of making that trek, coming back and seeing his master pray like he's praying with every report he brings back. And I believe on this seventh trip, he really gives it a really hard look. Because before this, he's hearing his prophet praying about the abundance of rain and all the flat lumber and lightning and the gully washer. So he's looking for black clouds and thunder and all that kind of stuff. But on this seventh trip, I think he spends a little longer time looking, and finally he sees a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And it ain't even black. Ain't no lightning shooting out of it and no thunder reports. It's just a nearly invisible cloud. Size of a man's hand. Hallelujah. But he's determined to go back with something besides a nothing this time. Hallelujah. And he gets back to the prophet. Amen. When the prophet raises his head to inquire to his report, he says, saw a cloud. It's the size of a man's hand, but I saw a cloud. Boy, Elijah jumps straight up off the ground. Hallelujah. And he says, you go tell Ahab to get himself down, lest the rain stop him. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Praise the Lord. While the servant went off to tell Ahab to get himself down, notice what the Bible said. And then the clouds begin to turn black. Amen. Then there become the sound of thunder, and there was a great rain. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, it became a deluge. There came such an abundance of rain at that time. Amen. But let me tell you, you got to know this, that past the nothings is the abundance. If Elijah had prayed and just said, four times and I've done it with all my heart and nothing's changing, then maybe I missed it. But let me tell you, as long as you can hear the sound, this is the important part I got to get over to you. You got to keep hearing the sound. You got to keep hearing the sound. You got to keep hearing the sound. Let me tell you, revival is for this church. Revival is for Sacramento. Amen. Revival is for this place. Amen. Souls and pews. Amen. Hungry hearts and altars. Baptismal water splashed. Amen. Move to another location in a bigger building, because God says you gotta press through the nothings. Amen. But there's an abundance beyond the nothing. Let's stand, would you please? Praise the Lord. Do you get the principle? This is what makes the difference in real saints, is that they keep pressing and pressing and pressing because they hear. while the devil perches on your shoulder. You know, and it's amazing. Some folks want to go find a bigger church somewhere. A lot more activities for the youth and all that kind of stuff. What are you here for? Why did God call you into the kingdom for such a time as this? Amen. One day, what was here was a man with a book in his hand and a message in his heart. And that was it. But now then, while there's been a whole lot of nothings, a whole lot of expense and a whole lot of investment and a whole lot of energy expired, thank God for the rains that fell. And God's not done yet. Praise the Lord for churches that'll stick with it. For churches that'll keep pressing on. That they get in the altar. Amen. Not just passing time because they feel like it's a request and a demand in their life. But it's a reality that says, this sound I hear. Praise the Lord. My eyes. Well, we walk by sight, but by faith. Praise the Lord, you walk by sound more than you walk by your seeing when it comes to living for God. Amen. I'm just telling you this. It's a fact that in these closing days before the coming of the Lord, God's not through saving folk. God still has revival and mighty, powerful revival. Right here. Right here. For saints that keep hearing, that keep hearing the sound of the abundance of rain. And then when you run into nothing, you say, get out of my way, nothing. Amen. If it's nothing, still the next thing in the road, we'll go through it. And if there's another nothing, we'll plow through it. And another nothing, we're going to get through it. Because on the other side of those nothings is the abundance. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on, you got to keep pressing through the nothings. Come on, let's gather around front here tonight. Praise the Lord as they sing and magnify the Lord.